nothing to talk about. We got plenty to talk about with Andrew Siciliano. Not only is he all over NFL Network, not only is he my preferred red zone husband, but he is also the man who does preseason play-by-play for the Los Angeles Rams. The 49ers got a little game against them on Saturday night. Andrew Siciliano, good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, how are you, Andrew? Thank you very much, as always.
Doing well, guys. How are you?
We're doing really, really well. Help us understand a little bit more about this Rams team that's coming here on Saturday. They seem, the one team 1 week, a totally different team the next.
I don't know that anyone has figured out what happened in Dallas. I think they were, I hate to say, they had regained the ability to control their own destiny, because number one, no one controls your own destiny. Number two, they hadn't technically gotten to that point yet with the way the schedule played out. But I think most people agree that if they had gone into Dallas, especially considering the Bears had lost, everything was there for the taking. And they not only played their worst game of the year, and I would argue even worse than the Ravens game, in which they were embarrassed on Monday Night Football, but they opened the door for the Cowboys to look in the mirror, I'm mixing metaphors, and finally realize that they are a legitimately good team if they actually try a little bit harder. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And now they, you know, have to win up there, have to beat the 49ers, have to have the Vikings lose a game to make it even interesting on week 17. A week ago today, I was convinced the Rams were making the playoffs and they had figured all their issues out. And we sit here today just trying to search for answers.
One of the answers that I have yet to get a full comprehensive understanding of is when Sean McVay said after Todd Gurley's last really good game, he said the reason why they haven't used him more is because Sean McVay is an idiot. And I thought it was glib at the time, but I think he's still hiding what the real answer must be. And what I'm wondering is, as you look at them week in and week out, whether Todd Gurley's health is such a thing that maybe he can only play well every other week, and maybe he can only play well in certain sets doing certain things. I mean, are we looking at a more limited Gurley, or are we looking at a coach who forgets he has his best weapon?
I think it's somewhere in the middle, not to dodge the question. I don't think anybody would look at Todd and say he's the same explosive guy he was 2 years ago. That just isn't the case. There's a lot of wear and tear on that body. When they got him, he was coming off major knee surgery to begin with, coming out of Georgia. It's not as if they were drafting a perfectly healthy running back. They understood that the guy had a shelf life. Well, that caught up to him a little bit. And you add in the fact that McVay, if he does have a blind spot, does fall in love with the pass a little bit more. When something does work, he does go all in sometimes, as opposed to using in moderation, whatever that one thing is. And I think he did truly try to, you know, I don't want to say load management, but save him for the second half of the season. He finally cranked him into gear. But when he cranked him into gear about 5 weeks ago, a month ago, after the Steeler game, it kind of coincided with all their offensive line injuries. You know, that's the biggest thing this year with the Rams that nobody talks about. It's safe to say that Andrew Whitworth got a year older. Joe Noteboom, who played left guard this year in his second season replacing Roger Saffold, wasn't as effective as a veteran Roger Saffold, and then he got hurt. Brian Allen, who a lot of people inside that building wanted to see play center down the stretch last year as a rookie, instead of John Sullivan, finally got his shot and didn't play that well, and then he got hurt. And then Rob Havenstein got hurt at right tackle. I mean, their offensive line was decimated, and then it started working when they plugged in two more rookies. They threw in Bobby Evans at right tackle, and they threw in David Edwards at right guard, both of them playing different positions than they did in college. Then it worked. All of a sudden, they were younger, they're more athletic, they ran Gurley, and it worked. And then whatever happened, happened in Dallas. They just weren't the right team. And I really, truly thought that momentum with that right offensive line mix had them moving in the right direction. Credit to the Cowboys for punching them in the mouth, and the Rams never got off the floor.
I think there's a tendency, and it's a little easy to go at Jared Goff for a variety of reasons this year, but let me put it to you this way. How, if at all, has your view of Jared Goff changed since week one?
He's had a lot more bad games than you would like to see, but the Goff that we saw in the 3 weeks before the Cowboys game was the Goff that they saw last year.
Right.
You know, they still did win 13 games last year, and he threw 4,800 yards. Those numbers, you know, weren't a fluke. That's the guy that they think they have. I would again go back to the offensive line issues, but it's not all the offensive line. Jared missed a lot of passes. He also had a lot of people in his face. He's like a lot of quarterbacks. It helps if everything is perfect, and when it isn't, it's not as easy as it was when it was perfect. I think that with all the pieces there operating together, Jared Goff's a damn good quarterback. Are you going to throw Jared on an awful team and say, elevate that awful team and make everyone around you play over your head? Probably not. But let's be honest. How many of those guys are there? Really, how many of those quarterbacks are out there?
Four or five.
You say, you will make everyone around you better and make up for a bad offensive line, bad play calling. Not that McVay.
There's only one Ryan Tannehill in this league. What are you talking about?
Exactly. There are only a handful of those guys, and they are, what, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees.
Wilson.
Right? Right, the guys that we know are Hall of Famers. And then you have your next list, which is the really good Pro Bowl quarterbacks who you know you can win with. And then there's like the Andy Dalton list. And you got one of those three. And if you don't have one of those three, you're in trouble. Jared's probably on the second list.
Where is Jimmy Garoppolo? No, I swear to God, if anyone even goes down that road again, I'm going to snap. We have way too much more interesting things to discuss with Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. He's a host on DirecTV. When you really do put together the schedule, not that you do it, but the schedule makers, they couldn't wish for a conclusion like this. The last 2 weeks deliver, I think, the NFL everything it could want in terms of matchups and out-of-town scoreboard watching. This is perfect.
Yeah, it is, and that's what they've kind of done the last couple of years by pushing as many division games into December. I mean, it also backfires a little bit as well. I mean, the fact that the Falcons didn't play a division game till week 9, I mean, that's one of those schedule things where you just go, come on, we could have and should have done it better than that for the Falcons' sake. But, yeah, it's set up well for the Rams and the Niners. It's set up well for the Niners and the Seahawks next week as well. It's set up well in the NFC North on a Monday night this week. The one thing, it's good and bad. Well, it's great for NFL Network. I think it's a bit of a negative for everyone watching on Sunday this week, is the games on Saturday actually mean a lot, which is great. There are only so many games at 10 o'clock our time coming up on Sunday that mean a lot. There's the one, the Ravens and Browns, but I mean, I don't know if anyone thinks the Browns are going to go in there and beat the Ravens again. But
it's the Freddie Kitchens referendum game. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, Freddie's already beaten them once. I mean, the Browns have only lost one division game. That's the crazy thing about all these tiebreakers that are still out there. It's because the Browns are 3-1 in the division that they're winning all these hypothetical fuzzy math tiebreakers. So, I mean, if they somehow beat the Ravens, it could legitimately come down to Week 17 for some 19-way tiebreaker for them to get in, which, as a Browns fan, makes it that more disgusting how they played in Arizona last week.
What you seem to be saying is that Freddie Kitchens could be the first guy to be Coach of the Year and get fired on the same day.
Of course, yes, that's exactly what I mean. No, actually what I mean is that they hit the referendum on his tenure is still out. I mean, he could actually, if they go lose by 50 this week, I think you might have answered the question. If they, in classic, will make it more difficult than it should be Browns fashion, only lose by a Justin Tucker field goal at the end, then what do you do?
Who do you think rules this league with more discipline, the commissioner or the Bengals security guy?
Oh, boy. I give credit to whomever's voice that is on the tape. I mean, they said, yeah, too late, pal, whatever that guy said.
It was fantastic. It was a guy who's been to Queen City Chili one too many times to put up with anyone nonsense.
The thing that, by the way, the chili's disgusting.
Highly like overrated. It's spaghetti. Oh, come on.
Disgusting.
Well, if you eat it, yeah, but you can use it for a lot of other household chores.
Back to cheating. We're running out of time.
You could put it in a diesel engine. And
the thing, it sounds like an SNL bit, right?
Yeah.
Guy wearing Boston Bruins gear with wicked thick accent tries to convince NFL security that he's allowed to do this or that he didn't know. I think that the Patriots should have the book thrown at him if they are guilty. I think everyone does agree that. I am generally suspect of obvious answers for excuses. But if they really were going to cheat, the idea of doing it this blatantly and out in the open with a guy from Central Casting wearing Bruins gear, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Does it?
Everyone in New England's having an off year, Andrew.
Well, I think it's literally just what you have to believe is that they don't care because no one really hurts them when they get caught.
No, I disagree. I think that with something like this so blatant, that they're not that brazen.
But what do you think will happen as a result?
I don't know. I think if they somehow can connect dots and prove that there was nefarious intent, we're talking multiple drafts.
I think the only way that happens is if Tom Cruise gets Belichick on the stand.
We are only lucky to get you at the last minute here. That's why we did not advertise the fact that Andrew Siciliano was joining us today, but we're certainly glad you did. Happy holidays, man. Always appreciate your time, Andrew.
That lack of advertisement only helped your ratings, guys.
Probably.